I want to talk to you about the necessity of raising children with boundaries. It's the idea of the lesson. The antithesis of that idea is raising children without boundaries and what that might look like as I consider topics that are given like this. And I want to give you a Bible passage in Proverbs 29, verse 15, that lays a clear passage or clear principle for the responsibility of giving boundaries to children. In Proverbs 29, verse 15, the Bible says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Now just notice the context if you're there, verse 16, 17. "When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall." Verse 17 says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." It's interesting that correction or guidance here, a similar idea, is necessary to bringing about a blessing in life. I want to tell you about a quick story. I got to summarize it. But in 1983, there was a young baby named Oksana in Ukraine that was born to a family. And the mother and father were alcoholics, and the baby was healthy physically at birth. And you can read about this. And in time, because the young girl, baby toddler, would be left outside in the cold. And if you know much about Ukraine, Russia, the European winters are real. Nature kicked in with this little infant. And nature guided this infant, this little baby girl named Oksana, to cuddle up with wild dogs. In between the years of 3 and 9 years of old, she spent nearly 100% of her time with these dogs. Her parents were alcoholics. Well, what do you think Oksana started to behave like? How do you think little Oksana started to walk? How do you think she did not talk, but sound? And what's really amazing is that the actual dogs, like a pack, actually took this physical creature into their midst and actually almost accepted it as one of their own in the terms of dogs. But in time, Oksana was rescued. And it took her many years to even recover. She is recovered now, and she lives on a farm. And she actually, of all things, tends to animals because it's apparently quite therapeutic. And that's no joke. She, in fact, writes about it now, having had to learn how to speak, that the dogs give her comfort. And she even says when she starts to feel lonely, she gets on all fours and starts to walk and crawl like a dog. Now, I bring that story up because it's a story of, in fact, reality. It's what happened. And to this day, she's single, and she was very, again, tortured, and she didn't even know it. She found actual comfort with the dogs. I want you to look at what the Bible teaches, though, about guidance in the book of Ephesians, and I want to break down a couple of these words. We're familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and following. But the reality is why we must guide our children is because it is to bring glory and honor unto God. God never intended little baby girls or boys to be raised by the dogs. How many of you remember the story of Mowgli, the Jungle Book? Well, that might be a cute book, and you might have read that to your children and been impressed with those animals that could talk and so forth, but that's not reality. It is interesting to me that in some sense, we seek out guidance. Whether a child receives the right kind of guidance, receives it, by nature, by physical, they go in search of some kind of guidance or companionship or, again, structure. And you think about what that Proverbs passage meant, a child left to himself. That's not God's intention. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible, of course, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The word honor is an important word in verse 2 because honor, again, is something that has to be taught. It comes from the idea of obedience. It's connected to the idea of fathers in verse 4 not provoking children to wrath. As to what Mike preached on Sunday about balance, fathers, we must think about this principle of provoking our children to wrath. Paul says to the Colossae brethren, lest they be discouraged. I want you to think about how then obedience and honor are two key things. But if the Bible says that fathers can actually, in fact, provoke their children to wrath, that's why I bring up stories like Oksana and others that I think of, though unintentional because they might have been drunkards. Nonetheless, what was the provocation there for little Oksana? She had to find some comfort and warmth, and so what did she gravitate towards? The only thing that could provide it, and it happened to be dogs. And dogs bark, and when they bark, that sounds a little wrathful to me. So wrath right here might take on different ideas. If Oksana doesn't ever learn the gospel and obey the gospel, guess what? She's going to receive in the day of eternity. Wrath and vengeance, just like every one of us. Obedience is so important, but it will not happen by accident. It will happen because of tremendous guidance. Fathers, raising your children, raising them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that they are not provoked to wrath. We have to find that balance. I want you to notice that word there in chapter 6, verse 4, where it says to bring them up. That idea of bring them up literally means to nourish up to maturity. To nourish, to nurture, to bring up. The only other time it's used is actually in the previous chapter in the New Testament, in chapter 5, verse 29, where it's talking about no man hates his own flesh, but nourishes it. It's interesting to me that we're such a worldly society, material, carnal society, and perhaps we're not very balanced, Mike, and we think too much about the flesh, because all we think about is keto, vegetarian, sucking in the gut. Maybe we've gone too far and we need to. I don't know, but all I hear about is trying to live to be 1,000 years of age. Well, I don't want you to live a miserable life, but at the same time, there's got to be a balance. Make sense? No man naturally hates his own flesh, but nourisheth it, takes care of it. That's a natural thing. I'm 50 years old, and guess what I'm doing in my 50s right now? Royce? My elbows hurt, my ankles hurt, my joints hurt. Do y'all relate? Is that a part of the aging process? So guess what I'm trying to do in my 50s? Because I've got to work still for at least another, 10, 15 years. When can I retire? All right. Eat keto. Eat keto, okay. So I'm trying to take a little bit better care of myself because I'm the one that's got to live with me and I've got to get up and go to work every day. So the idea of nourishing here, but it's talking about children, fathers looking to your children and helping them become mature. What is that talking about? Helping them to become men and young ladies, daughters, to mature to their godly purpose. I think that that is so interesting when you consider the idea. Now I want you to look at this idea. Not just bring up, but the idea of nurture itself. Do you see in Ephesians 6 verse 4 the word nurture? This word means the whole training and education of children. It relates to the cultivation of the mind and morals. Poor Oksana's mind and morals became guided by what? Dogs. She even to this day sniffs her food before she eats it. Now can you imagine inviting someone over into your house to eat and you set before them a nice plate of whatever it is you've prepared and they do this right here? Well, you'd probably go, what planet did they come from? Well, they were raised by the dogs, and her name was Oksana. But nonetheless, that's a fact. Again, the idea here is to nurture. It's a whole training. It has to do with the mind, the morals. When it's talking about adults, it has to do with cultivating the soul. It doesn't end just in childhood. It's something that actually is going to continue on throughout your life. And so I found this interesting. You'll remember this passage in Hebrews chapter 12 that uses this idea when it's talking about the principle of nurturing. Notice in Hebrews 12 verse 5, and I'll try to quickly get through this. The Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 12, 5, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him." Verse 7, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" Verse 8, it's used. "But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." This idea of chastening is the same idea of being nurtured. Hebrews 12, verse 11, "No chastening seems to be joyful for the present." Now, you children, this is the idea of guidance, parents. That's why they look to you and they say, "This ain't no fun. I don't want to have to do this, and I don't want to clean my room, and I don't want to do chores." So we as parents have to understand that it's not going to be pleasant for the time. We're not beating you. I hope you're not. Well, you might want to spank them. The rod of correction. But again, there's got to be balance here. The idea here is that it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hebrews 12, verse 11. That's the same idea of being nurtured. And that's not just talking about children, that's talking about adults. So how important is it to give guidance to children? It's essential. And then I want you to notice that it's done by the admonition of the Lord. In Ephesians 6, verse 4, if you'll look at that idea there, the admonition of the Lord, literally having to do with the warning, the, again, exhortations. This is interesting to me. I could have showed you this based upon the word nurture, but I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, and I'll end. Some may say, well, how? How do we give guidance? Well, I don't have time to break down three or four or five points to give you examples. The word example would be my next point of showing you the word example and how we are to pattern or example after the lessons in the Bible, the characters in the Bible. But 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us how we give guidance. And this is the only and best guidance you'll ever give a child. All Scripture, what does it say? Given by inspiration of God, is profitable for what? For doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? In righteousness, that the man of God, or you might as well say the child of God in this context, may be what? Complete, mature. What did that idea of nurture or brought up mean? To mature, to bring to maturation. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Parents, Wednesday night is a supplement to everything we do as Christians. It's a supplement. The best thing we can do as an eldership is to make sure the supplement is rich, is edifying. But if you're at home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday before evening services, Thursday, Friday into the weekend, Saturday, all day Saturday, and then Sunday, the day of worship, the day we come back together, if you're not during those days, like was said Sunday night, providing a life classroom of instruction and guidance, your children will do one thing. I know this. They will mimic, they will pattern, they will follow whatever they see. You are their guidance. What do they see at your home? What do they see in your everyday life? because that's the best hope you can give them. A child left to himself, though, will bring great shame upon his family. Adults are bringing tremendous shame because they've been left to themselves. The book of Judges says when every man forgot God or forgot all that previous generation, all that Joshua and Moses had done, they started to do what? They just did whatever came to their imagination. And that book of Judges is a good example of what not to become. And so I hope that that will help you and encourage you. But remember, children left to themselves. Remember the little story of Oksana. I can show you pictures of her. She's an adult now. She's grown up. But it didn't start off too good for her. Very interesting story. A lot of those children that are left to themselves, feral, don't ever, are unable to be rehabilitated. But nonetheless, don't let that be you or your home. Make sure you give your children, your home, the guidance they need. They have to have it in order to please God. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be one. We want you to understand that it starts with the Bible study that creates faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And when you understand the truth, you understand the Word of God, the gospel, then that would create the idea, the desire to want to change or repent. And when you're ready to repent, you would be ready to confess. Confess the name of Christ before men publicly that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That confession is made, then upon that confession, then we are able now and ready to baptize a person that's ready to do this for the remission of their sins, become a child of God, a Christian. That's obedience to the gospel plan of salvation. We can help you with that decision tonight if you need that help. If you're here now, are a child of God, and you need the prayers of the congregation. You need support. You need help. If you've sinned and you've brought reproach against the church, then we need to help you with that too. Now's a good time if you're ready to do that. Let us know, and that'll be the invitation of the Lord. As together we stand and we sing, won't you come?